Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, Tim Frazier back in the NBA. Tim had been with the Portland Trail Blazers all year, but then was placed on waivers by the Blazers at the trade deadline because they had to make room in a trade. So he went back to Maine, where he played for the Maine Red Claws in Portland. The last 2 weeks was named the Performer of the Week in the D-League, and then yesterday signed a 10-day contract with the New Orleans Pelicans. So now he gets the privilege of feeding the ball to Anthony Davis and getting free assists. Not bad. Tim's a leader. Tim is an NBA-caliber player. The Pelicans would be wise to hang on to him. Damian Lillard loved having him on the team out in Portland. And ironically, the Blazers will be one of the games in this 10-day span. I expect Tim to go through the 10-day span and get one of two things, either a second 10-day contract or to get a full contract to finish the season out. They have a couple of injuries right now, including Drew Holiday. And Tim Frazier gets a shot with the New Orleans Pelicans. Before we get to Jeff Byers in New York, our play-by-play call of the day. It's the Canes and the Caps in the NHL. John Walton with the call on the Capitals Radio Network.
Controlled there by Ovechkin. Brent Pesce following Ovechkin to the left corner. A pass behind the net. Caps a lot of possession time. The pass out front. They score! With a 2-1 overtime victory over the Carolina Hurricanes.
That's courtesy of the Capitals Radio Network and the Truman Show. So again, the Capitals, as you can tell, have made the playoffs officially. There's a good chance they'll be the number one seed in the East. Time now to go to New York. Jeff Byers is already safely ensconced at the Penn Hotel across the street. Ironhead, my friend, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Really good. Definitely chomping at the bit here to get this tournament going. A lot of anticipation, obviously, for Penn State, but I think just for the tournament as a whole, I think there are a lot of very intriguing matchups and a lot of weight classes that have some real question marks going in and some history that can be made at a couple of them.
For Penn State fans, what kind of pilgrimage have you seen? Because for the first time since Philadelphia, they get to drive, and it's not that hard to do.
Yeah, Steve, from what I've heard, the buses made their way up today, the Penn State Wrestling Club buses, and they'll be here in full force. But what I really think is going to swing Madison Square Garden significantly Penn State's way is the Penn State alumni here in New York that are going to turn out. I've talked to a couple of people who are Penn State alums, not big wrestling fans, but they said, you know, man, a chance to see Penn State at the Madison Square Garden, we couldn't pass it up. And so a lot of those folks, I think, are going to be matriculating into the garden here over the next few days. And I do think that this will be a very pro-Penn State crowd in terms of the individual numbers. Now, what's going to sway that the other way is because Penn State has won 4 of the last 5 titles.
Right.
The rest of the Teams fans will be kind of pulling against Penn State, I suspect, over the course of the 3-day tournament.
All right, I want to get to one. I'm going to start at one that obviously there have to be several victories on both sides to get to this point. But if Nolf wrestles Isaiah Martinez again, you and I both know that take a 7-game basketball series and a team wins game one, well, the team that wins game one feels pretty good about itself. And even though they want to make adjustments, it's hard for them to mentally do. The team that lost does make adjustments. For Nolf, Martinez obviously adjusted at the Big Ten. Where does he need to adjust back to then swing it back in his favor if this materializes?
Yeah, I think there's two things that Jason will really look to do in the third meeting, should there be one, and that's certainly the expectation, the anticipation anyway, from fans here. The one thing is he's got to do his best to stay out of that underarm tie-up, the under tie-up that Martinez just loves to use, and really was able to effectively slow Nolf's offense down in that Big Ten championship bout. With that, and the underhooks are kind of a staple of Martinez. It's easier said than done, staying out of those underhooks. But I think Jason will do a better job this next time around of not letting Martinez kind of dictate the pace with those underhooks. And, you know, the other thing I think for Jason is to really get his top game going. There was, you know, the questionable whistle or lack thereof in the overtime session, but I think Jason feels like he can wear Martinez down a little bit more effectively from the top than what he did in this last meeting, and I think you saw it in their first meeting. But, you know, Jason will have to be on top of his game, because if they do meet in the finals, Martinez will have, you know, that full day under his belt to recover from weigh-ins, and that is not insignificant for the Illini sophomore. So Jason's such a smart, savvy kid, Steve. And you know, I don't think you'll ever see another bout in his collegiate career where he goes, 11 minutes of wrestling without scoring a takedown.
Right.
That's not going to happen again.
Exactly. But again, it always goes down to adjustments, and it's the one that didn't win the last time that really locks in on it. The other one, it's like too easy.
Yep.
It's that, hey, I won, I don't really need to adjust, do I?
No question.
Okay, now we get to other guys. Penn State had six finalists at the Big Ten. Are all six, in your mind, ready to make big runs in this tournament?
I think five for sure are, Steve. You know, Jimmy Golubon remains kind of the X factor here. But Jimmy has looked very good in practice. I do think he gained some confidence coming out of the Big Ten tournament. So I guess I would say all six are ready to go. When we talk about big runs, I mean, I think five of those six can win the national title here in New York City. Golubon's capable of doing it. We just haven't seen him put together a run of consecutive bouts, more than a couple all season. So, you know, to say that he's going to go on a run of five straight and four against the top-notch competition, you know, might be a bit of a stretch, but again, as we've talked about before, if Jimmy's on, he's capable of winning any individual bout. Again, I'm just not sure with the way he's competing this year if he can go on, you know, that run and get five straight wins to win a title.
And Bo Nickel can be dynamic. We know, obviously, what Nolf can do. We talked about that. Zane Rutherford's been great. We've talked a lot about Nico. I'm not so sure we've talked enough about Morgan McIntosh. You know, it seems like he just has gone about his business. He wins, goes to the next one, goes about his business, wins, and goes to the next one. Discuss where he is right now, Jeff, and the kind of draw he received.
That's a great point, Steve. I do think Morgan, and he's obviously had a terrific career, I do think he's wrestling the best of his career, and Cale Sanderson is said a couple of times over the last few weeks that this is the Morgan McIntosh that they were expecting all along and knew what he was capable of doing all along. He's really just very comfortable with where he's at and with what he's doing. He knows what his strengths are. He knows how to utilize them. He knows all of the big-name opponents that he could face here in the tournament. He's seen them before and knows what they bring to the table. And you know, he is just so confident. He's always been confident on his feet, but he's really confident on the mat now, does not believe that anybody can hold him down for more than a 15, 20-second period. And on top, he has just become a beast. This year, you know, if I'm looking at the one thing that maybe is allowing Morgan to separate himself a little more from the rest of the field this year than in the past couple of seasons, it's his ability on top, not just to ride guys, because he did that effectively last year, but now he's getting the tilts and he's getting the pins. You know, he only has 23 career pins. Nine of them have come this season, and so he really has just come into his own. And again, he very much is focused on the task at hand and realizes he's hoping there's just five outs remaining and he wants to make the most of each of them.
How much stock do you put in the opening round when they finally get out there just to get it out of their system and then get that winning feeling?
Yeah, I think it's big, Steve, and I think we've seen it set the tone in all four, really, title runs the Penn State had under Cale Sanderson. They got off to a good start with not just victories in that opening round, but getting bonus points wins, getting the pins and tech falls and major decisions along the way. And, you know, in the tournament here this year, tomorrow, Steve, Penn State will have a big chance at a couple of what could be eye-opening bouts. Jimmy Golobano wrestling number 5 seed Matt Manley of Missouri, and that's about Penn State very much believes that Golobano can win, and obviously if he does, that's going to go a long way toward helping his cause to become a 2-time All-American. And, you know, as far as the seeds go, Gino Morelli, who's unseeded, I don't think could have gotten a much better draw than John Stoudemire of North Carolina, because Stoudemire is the 11 seed, so he's not one of these guys that comes in with an invincible aura about him. But they also met down at the Southern Scuffle. Stoudemire won it 2-1 in a tiebreaker, but I think that bout gives Morelli some confidence, and he knows that he's capable of winning that bout. And again, if Penn State can pull off one of those two or get both of them, I really think it sets the stage here for the rest of the weekend to be very successful.
Did any of these guys get into the Garden at all, and just to take a look at it?
Yeah, it was interesting. We got in last night at about 8:15 or so, Steve, and the Garden was open until 9 for athletes to go over, and a handful of them did go over just to see it, and then they went over this morning and rolled around 9 o'clock, and they'll go back over. I think all of them, most of them anyway, will be going back over after 3 this afternoon again, just to scope out exactly how everything's laid out. And you know, they have some cool aspects here to this championship being at Madison Square Garden. One of them is that the scale that will be used for the finals and the finals only. But if you get to the championship bout, you'll be weighing in on the scale that Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali weighed in on in their first title bout here at Madison Square Garden. So there's just a lot of little things like that I think are just adding to the intrigue and motivation, not that these kids need it, to try to get to the finals here on Saturday night.
No question. Look, I think if they wrestled in a parking lot and they told them it was the Nationals, it would be ultra special.
Yeah.
But is there a feel, because it is the Garden with its history, that means something to these kids?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Cale's been trying to downplay it, and I understand that. But the kids...
I completely get why he's doing it. I would too.
Sure. But the kids cannot contain their excitement, Steve. As we came in on the bus last night, eyes were wide open looking around at the buildings and the bright lights and everything else. And as they got into the team hotel, they really were just like little kids. I mean, they are about as pumped up as could be. And there is, I think, an appreciation, number one, just for the fact that they'll have a chance to win a national title here in the East.
That's right.
Anywhere in the East is a big deal. But, yeah, they understand the history of Madison Square Garden. I mean, a lot of these kids, have an appreciation of the history of boxing and UFC, and they know some of the storied names that have come through here, and obviously know that that it is special, this venue. And I do think it makes it a little extra more meaningful, especially for the kids that are from the East Coast, the Pennsylvania kids here.
All right, there are 9 guys there. What's the best you expect from each guy?
You know, I'm probably the eternal optimist, but I really think they have 5 kids that can win national titles here. And and again, I wouldn't rule Jimmy Golobano out as a 6th. Jordan Conaway, those top 2 guys are just so, so good. I mean, I would not rule Jordan Conaway completely out. But realistically, I think if he can finish in the top 5 here, that is a very strong showing for Conaway. Matt McCutchen, I think, just wants to get on the podium. I mean, I obviously would like to get as high as he can, but realistically, again, I think a fifth, sixth place finish would be a very strong showing for him. And Gino Morelli, with the way the bracket lays out, Steve, I think he is capable of getting on the podium as well. But, you know, again, he's going to have to wrestle the best of his career to do that. But, you know, yeah, best case scenario, Penn State would have five national champs, eight All-Americans, right, and probably seven guys in the top five.
All right, Jeff, going for five in 6 years. Amazing what they've done. Best of luck to them, and we can't wait to hear your exciting calls of each one.
Thanks very much, Steve. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun 3 days here, and I know the fans are very much looking forward to
it. You know what's interesting? How many times have you and I heard Cale? Now, you've interviewed him more than I have. I mean, exponentially more this season. But when I've talked to him, he's always talked about the process. Now we're about to see 3 days, a culmination of the process.
Yeah, and it really is. Steve, it's like the kid who is just completely knows the subject inside and out and is going in for his final exam. I heard about those kids when I was in school. but it really, and you do get that feeling. There is just a calm confidence about this coaching staff, and it translates over to the wrestlers. They know what they're capable of doing. They know that if they go out and just do what they've done all year long, they're going to walk out of here with the national title. And I think they're just more than nervous. I think they're just excited for the opportunity to go out and show the lessons they've learned.
Yeah, they were made fun of, I think, at one point, weren't they, Jeff? But they're all running companies now. So,
yeah, how about it?
Jeff, thanks a lot, pal.
Thank you.
Jeff Byers joining us from New York. Isn't that the truth, isn't it? You made fun of them. Now they're running the company. Now you're going to them. I always laughed at the days when Northwestern was bad at everything. Football, not win a game. Basketball, win five or six games. And the student body at Northwestern, when it came to Michigan, they were particularly brutal. They would chant during the game at the players on the opposing team, "Someday you'll work for us. Someday you'll work for us."
I remember those. I remember those type. Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. You're going to pump our gas someday. I remember those chants when I was in high school too.
Just remember, okay? Just remember all the young people out there, all right? Here's a slice of advice for you. It does not matter on the planet where you are at 15. It does not. It does matter where you are in the pecking order of life at 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, and 75. It doesn't matter where you are when you're 15. It doesn't. Okay? Think about that. Because at some point, it all does even out. And sometimes it doesn't even out in your favor. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way. And then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. First Four continues tonight in Dayton. Kevin loves the little guy. You think it's really cool the little guy's in.
Not the little guy that's playing tonight. Not liking that little guy much at all.
Holy Cross and Southern.
Yes. Not much of a Holy Cross fan.
But tomorrow and Friday, you love the little guy. And you think the little guy's the best part of this tournament. And here's a slice of info for you. Everybody loves the little guy. They love the major, they love the mid-major guy, and they love the little guy. Until it comes time to watch them. No. Ratings show over and over. For example, I was at the Florida Gulf Coast Georgetown game. I was there at Wells Fargo. What was it, 2 years ago that happened? Two, 3 years ago? And I was there. That's when Florida Gulf Coast pulled the upset over Georgetown. Georgetown was actually in the tournament that year. And the crowd went crazy. Now, remember, part of this is they beat Georgetown. That's part of the foil. I mean, you have to have the right foil to make this happen. But as the tournament progresses, okay, little guy, mid-major guy, it's not that interesting. The ratings show it. Everybody's sitting there, the casual fan's like, what channel's Duke on?
My question to you is, of the four number one seeds, will any of them make it to the Final Four?
Yeah, I've got two of them in there.
That's a lot compared to the last several years, I think.
I've got North Carolina and I've got Kansas. My problem with North Carolina is this. A lot of people are picking North Carolina, which I understand. They're very talented and they're well coached. But the issue with North Carolina is as follows. I think in order to have some success, you must be at least a decent three-point shooting team, and they are not. For the season, North Carolina shot 31% from three. That's not a great number. And in ACC play, they only shot 28%, so they got worse as time went on. I think in a big game, at some point, that will come back to bite them where they're not good enough from outside the arc.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 on Hummel's Wharf. Great people at that dealership. Great. Both dealerships, great people. Great selection of vehicles, too. And you know what? They have all the modern conveniences there, but they also do it the old-fashioned way. They take care of you first. Sports bozo of the day, and I don't really know where to come down on this one, but I'll just read the story to you. White Sox designated hitter Adam LaRoche has decided to retire after team president Ken Williams told him his son was no longer welcome in the clubhouse. LaRoche informed the club and his teammates during a meeting yesterday that he was retiring after a 12-year career. He said his teammates asked him to reconsider, but that he was confident in his choice. Now, it isn't as clear-cut as people think. He has a 14-year-old son, Drake. He has traveled with his father's teams for several years. In a Chicago Tribune feature about LaRoche and his son last year, LaRoche referred to Drake as the 26th man on the team. Drake goes to school in Kansas, but the school allows he and his sister, Montana, to take weeks' worth of homework with them when they go out on the road. Okay. Williams told Ken Rosenthal that children are still allowed in the White Sox clubhouse, but he told LaRoche that Drake should spend less time with the team. Williams said, quote, I just don't think he should be here 100% of the time. And he has been here 100% every day in the clubhouse. I said, I don't think he should be here 50% of the time. Figure it out, somewhere in between. He said, we all think his kid is a great young man. I just felt it should not be every day. That's all. You tell me, where in this country can you bring your child to work with you every day? It is a very interesting question. Because we do not bring our children to to work. We have one day where you, you know, bring your child to work day and then get to see what you do. And every once in a while, I know, for example, and I see this more, I see this sometimes in radio, and I see this sometimes at the TV station I work at, where every once in a while, a circumstance does come up where they do have to bring their kids to work, and everybody thinks, hey, it's great. Hey, good to see you. And like Topher Yorks, every once in a while, brings the girls in, and we're like, hey, you know, and everybody, you know, spends a couple minutes talking to them. So I don't know. It brings up an interesting dynamic. Baseball is a little bit different. Barrett in Selins Grove. Hi, Barrett. How are you today? It's great to hear from you.
I am great. How are you this afternoon?
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
Hey, quick question. I apologize. You may have covered this recently. You may have covered it earlier this afternoon. I can't always listen to you all the time. And it's related to the extra four teams, which they added a few years ago as play-in games for the tournament, for the basketball tournament. Two of them get a 16th seed, but the other two get an 11th seed. And I remain perplexed at why they make an 11th seed team have to play in. If they're worthy of an 11th seed, why do they have to play the extra game while teams which allegedly are rated lower than them, 12 through 16, and don't have that added burden of the extra game?
Excellent question, and it comes down to this. Barrett, it's about opening up two extra at-large spots to make this happen. And so they put down a grand total of 6 11 seeds, and they make two of them play off against each other to get in. Here's the reason why. It's all about, guess what? Making the first four more interesting, more competitive, and more telegenic. Tonight, Michigan is going to play Tulsa. More people will watch tonight because Michigan, brand name, is playing Tulsa. And that's the decision as to why there are 11s playing last night and 11s playing tonight. It all comes down to generating eyeballs to the TV set.
Which undoubtedly it will, you know, and I'm much more inclined to watch that game than it would be a couple of other games in which I've got a really decent team playing against a team I've never heard of before. But then it gives a disadvantage to the team that wins that game. So let's say Michigan wins tonight, and they're an 11th seed. Under normal circumstances, Michigan's had a pretty decent year, and I'm like you guys, I tend to lean a little more towards the Big Ten. I'd be inclined to pick them in my bracket, but now they've had to play that extra game. I have to take that into consideration, and maybe I'm less inclined to choose them as the winner against they'll have a 6 seed they'll go up against on later in the week. So I think the team, the players, the coaches, the entire university, they're ecstatic that they're in. It doesn't matter to them, I suppose, that they have to play the extra game, but that's what it takes and all. But deep down, you would think, geez, did we get an unfair disadvantage?
Well, and there's pluses and minuses to it, Baird. I would have thought the same thing as you, except we've now watched three teams advance out of that in the last, what, they've done this. This will be the sixth year they've done it. In three of the first 5 years, you've had teams advance out of it, make deep runs.
Okay.
VCU was in this game in 2011, and they advanced all the way to the Final Four. LaSalle did this and got to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happens is this: you get a game under your belt, and you've won it. Now you've got to feel it being in the tournament. The tournament nerves are out of the way. You've got a winning feeling. You've got a little momentum, confidence. That's what I always talk about. The most dangerous day in a conference tournament, I always say, is the quarterfinal day, because all those teams have been waiting to play, but they're playing teams that are coming in off wins and have some momentum, and that's why you see more upsets in the quarterfinals. Well, I feel the same thing with this. This happens. Now, here's the disadvantage to it. The disadvantage is this, and this is where you've got to fight your way through it. You find out on a Sunday night,
you quickly must get yourself to Dayton by Monday. Because under requirements, you got to be there. You got to go through the press conference. Then you play the game. And then the game's over and you've won. Now you've got to fly to the next location.
Which could be very far away.
Right. And it could be exactly right. It could be out in the coast. Could be whatever. So the advantage is that you play. You get a game under your belt. You get some confidence. Your young players now know what it's like to play in an NCAA tournament game and win it. And you've got momentum going to the next game. The negative is you had to travel to get there, had to play it, then had to quickly travel out and go to God knows where to play the next game. So there are pluses and minuses to it, but they're not all minuses.
Right. Oh, no. I mean, but, you know, ultimately, it's the big question. We're in the tournament, and let us then be in charge of our own destiny. So, good.
Right, exactly. And it all comes down to matchups, too, Baird. You may be in a situation where, like, take, for example, Wichita State won last night. They've got Arizona next. I'll be honest with you. That's a really good matchup for Wichita State. That's a good matchup for them. See, matchups mean everything, and matchups aren't talked enough about. It's more about so much general feel about things. Matchups become important.
Sure. So, that being said, I have Arizona.
Yeah, great. No, no, so did I. As a matter of fact, I picked Arizona to beat Wichita State, too, so I'm with you.
Well, we shall find out. We shall find out. And I have no idea what the rest of your bracket is, but ironically, you and I have the same two teams in the championship game. So we'll see. I'll see if I get lucky. I had the two teams in the championship game last year. I did not pick Duke. So ultimately, I did win. Starts your life.
That's okay.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate the explanation, and you guys have a great afternoon.
Hey, Baird, thanks for the call. 1-800-795-9565. A couple of excellent questions there, as a matter of fact. Excellent questions. And, you know, and Baird picked Kansas and Michigan State in the final. But it was another call where we got through where nobody talked about Georgetown.
Yeah, I noticed that. Here's your fun facts for the day. You ready?
I already gave you two fun facts.
You did.
Today.
You did. You
want?
Did.
Come on.
I know.
I was the fun guy today. Come
you
on.
Were. You were. The NCAA tournament, 68 teams come from 47 states and 47 countries.
What's this? Say that again.
Of the 68 NCAA teams, players on those teams come from 47 states. No Vermont, North Dakota, or Maine players, and 47 countries.
Fabulous. It's the international game.
Now, if you look historically in the NCAA tournament, not historically, but in this year's tournament, what state do you think has the most representation in the tournament?
What state?
By player now. Player's home state.
I don't know. If I were to guess, I'd say California.
California is 2.
Yeah, okay.
Texas is 1 with 89. California is 2 with 82, followed by North Carolina, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania comes in 8th, followed by Georgia and Ohio rounding out the top 10.
Speaking of Pennsylvania, they're about to play the state championships down at the Giant Center in Hershey this weekend. The final game will be the Quad A game on Saturday night, and it'll be Roman Catholic, led by Tony Carr, Lamar Stevens, and Nazir Bostic against Alderdice for the Quad A championship. Alderdice 28-1 on the year. They took out Reading in the semifinals. Meanwhile, with relative ease, Roman Catholic beat Plymouth Whitemarsh last night.
And on
so
the,
that's Saturday night.
And on the girls' side in single A, Lords Regional will be in the final against, Cardinal, I can't remember the pronunciation correctly, Cardinal Wolf or something like that.
Okay.
W-U-E-R-F. I think that's it.
Well, obviously, it got only to be a cardinal, not a pope, so I'm not that worried.
Yeah, I think it's
okay.
Cardinal Worth North Catholic is who it is.
Okay.
So it's the All Catholic League.
It is actually. It's the all private school championship there in AA on the girls' side. Or, I'm sorry, single A on the girls' side. Newman Gretti on the girls' side also in the finals.
Did Gretti make it a triple?
On the boys' side? Let's see. I don't recall. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They take on Mars.
I would almost believe me. They could take on Saturn. And Gretti will win.
Yeah, they won that one. Let's see. They beat Imhotep Charter, 76-69. Imhotep Charter dumped off Lewisburg a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. See, you don't like this. This angers you.
Here is the Eastern Final Four. Newman Gretti, Imhotep Charter, Del Valle Charter, and Lower Moreland.
Okay.
Of the Final Four in the state in AAA, Imhotep Charter, mm-hmm. Newman Gretti, Bishop McDevitt, Mars. Congratulations to Mars.
Well, I mean, to represent an entire planet, I'm impressed. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, I think we've hit on most of the big news of the day. Brent Wilkerson is suspended indefinitely. There's an indecent assault charge. He'll be in court, I believe, on April 6th. Tim Frazier is signed a 10-day contract with the New Orleans Pelicans, so he's back in the NBA. Tonight, Southern takes on Holy Cross in a first four game in Dayton, and the other game tonight will be Michigan against Tulsa in the late game this evening. Those are the big headlines of the day. To get everybody up to date on what's going on, the NCAA Wrestling Championships will get underway tomorrow at Madison Square Garden in New York. Very nice. Final four picks. Kevin has screwed up everyone's bracket by selecting Georgetown in the first half hour.
Listen, if that one wins, there's nobody that's going to beat me.
What's stunning is John Thompson, the third right now, is on an island near the Bahamas looking around saying, what, we got a game?
Hold on, where? What?
We're doing what? Did I miss something?
This is what happens when you... this year I did not fill out a bracket, and then somebody, Dale from the Sunbury, asked in the first half hour who I would have, and I quickly went online to find a bracket, and I happened to see a bracket that had... it was a prediction bracket from the beginning of the season. And I'm thinking, wow, Georgetown seeded that high. That's a lot better than I thought they played. It was.
At 15 and 18, it's a lot better than most people thought. I remember both Monmouth and Radford beat them this year.
They were like a 5 seed or something like that in this bracket. So don't believe everything you read on the internet, especially when you're scrambling in a hurry to try and sound smarter than you really are.
Okay. Tomorrow's just, pro day here.
Just a safety tip from those of us here at the Steve Jones Show.
You know, it's been a couple weeks since I've had a pounding headache, but
they're going to fire me at the end of this week anyway from the show.
So, pro day's tomorrow. Austin Johnson, Anthony Zettel, Jordan Lucas, Carl Nassib, Ryan Kaiser is going to work tomorrow, Kyle Carter, Angelo Mangiero. The last guy up tomorrow is going to be Christian Hackenberg, and he has to be the last guy up tomorrow because they need to clear the field so he can go through the throwing drills. So and they'll do everything that you'll see at the combine. They'll run the 40. They'll kick out 225-pound reps. They'll do the vertical. They'll do the broad jump. They'll do the shuttle running the cones. And then Christian will get an opportunity after all that's done to throw. And it's going to be heavily covered here tomorrow. NFL Network's going to be here tomorrow. Kim Jones, I think, is going to be here. I think I might get a chance to get Kim to talk to us on the show. Mike Mayock might be here tomorrow, too. ESPN is going to have some people here tomorrow. and we're going to get an opportunity to interview the players. And I don't mean in mass. I mean one-on-one tomorrow. So I'm going to work on that. And we may not air it for you tomorrow just to organize it. May air it on Friday for you. Might air it maybe early next week, but we will get it to you. Fair enough? Fair enough.
Steve,
we were given a little more access. We're given a little more access than everybody on this.
Hackenberg from the combine was listed as one of the top performers. Ran a 4.78 in the 40.
And his best is 4.72. That's the best number he ran here at Penn State.
And he also did the three cone drill in 7.04, which put him on the top performer list. So he had a decent combine.
He did fine. Except the bottom line is what it comes down to is this: it's going to be the throwing part. How accurate is he going to throw the ball? Now, he'll be able to take it from that far hash mark, and he'll be able to throw that sideline out, and everybody's going to go, wow, look at his arm. The key for him is going to be throwing the football in such a way where he's leading guys into yards after the catch. And that will then go to what his footwork happens to be. He's worked awfully hard on his footwork, but his footwork has been the detriment to this point of making him a consistently accurate quarterback. You look at Carson Wentz, for example, from North Dakota State. The one thing that you have to have a knock on Carson Wentz, the one knock on him, is that he has not faced at FCS the same level of closing speed of a DB in FBS. Now, that's not an absolute. There are a couple guys in FCS that can really close, and you see they end up in the NFL. But you'll find consistently safeties, linebackers, corners in FBS most of the time have that extra little burst and closing speed that allow them to be FBS players and not FCS players that you have to throw against on a consistent basis. That's the one area with Wentz, who's a winner in so many ways, handles himself well, has a really good arm, is not a look to the sideline to tell me what's going on here, gets a play, gets to change the play, gets to get him into the right play. Wentz does a lot of that stuff. But again, the one question you're going to have is that how is he going to react against guys that can close on a ball he throws? Tony Romo has handled it with complete ease coming out of Eastern Illinois. Ben Roethlisberger had no problem going from the MAC to the NFL. If you've got it, you've got it. I'm just saying it's something that, as a scout, you have to take a good, hard, long look at when it comes to him. Hackenberg at least has done that. Now the question is, can Christian be accurate consistently? And if he is, his stock goes up. We'll watch tomorrow and see how it plays out starting at 10.